In the future, every job's going to be a green-collar job. So green-collar means not just jobs in new industries like solar and wind. It means that in older industries like manufacturing, mining and transport and construction, we're going to have to find ways of greening those industries and greening the workers in those industries.
So why then has the term green-collar job, which has been applied in the US, for example, to more specifically jobs in renewable energies, been used in this situation?
I guess there are different degrees of what green-collar means. In an area like construction or transport, to make big reductions in those environmental impacts, big reductions in greenhouse pollution, we're going to have to find ways of greening those industries. We're going to need bankers who understand what carbon credits are. We're going to need transport workers who know what fuel economy is and how to drive in a more efficient way.
So what has this CSIRO report found?
The key finding is that we can tackle climate change, reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, and also grow jobs across Australia. So it really blows away the myth that action on climate change is going to destroy Australian jobs.
The figure here found in the report was that between 2.6 million and 3.3 million jobs will be created over the next 20 years. Do you have a breakdown of what percentage those jobs will be in renewable energies or what is being considered under this broader definition with green-collar jobs of just greening industries that exist?
Well, the good news is that the CSIRO found that there will be jobs growth across all sectors. It'll be a bit slower in some of the areas like manufacturing, but big growth areas will include not only services industries, say tourism, but will also include industries like construction and transport.
This report was looked at in terms of a carbon emissions trading scheme. Why does the CSIRO believe that the introduction of a carbon emissions trading scheme will lead to this new green-collar workforce?
I guess emissions trading is one part of the policy puzzle, and it's going to create an incentive to reduce greenhouse pollution. Industry and business will be looking for ways to clean up their act.
I guess what I was more trying to find out was that this report was in part commissioned by the Australian Conservation Foundation. And was it part of the requirement to have this modelling done around a carbon emissions trading scheme?
The modelling was done around two different scenarios. One was reductions, big reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. And we didn't say it has to be achieved by emissions trading. In likelihood, emissions trading will be one way of reducing emissions, but we're going to need a lot of other policy measures, say on renewable energy and energy efficiency, to get those reductions in emissions. So one set of modelling around reducing greenhouse gas emissions. The other model is based around what's called a factor four scenario, where you try and produce double the economic output while at the same time halving all the material inputs, so all the resources that go into the economy. And emissions trading is really just one of the policy levers that would help you achieve either of those scenarios.
Part of this report was the finding that 30% of current employment is with industries that create about 80 to 90% of environmental impacts. The report then states that this move towards green jobs is not a move away from what you would call dirty industries. So they're talking about the retrofitting of polluting industries with what could be considered cleaner practices. Why do you think that this was given prominence instead of a shift towards green-collar jobs in renewable energies?
Overall, the report found that green-collar, it's not a niche industry and it's not necessarily all new industries. There's a bit of probably a misconception out there that green-collar means it has to be a new sunrise industry.
But when we're talking about a shift towards green jobs, what is not included in that? Are workers in, for example, in mining, is there anything that you would consider to not be covered by the term green-collar job?
We've talked about shades of green. So, say, in the mining industry, you're less likely to have a deep green-collar job, but you can give people who work in those industries a greener tinge. I think that's really important. So it is possible for mining to reduce its impacts, and if mining does take on that challenge, I think it's fair to say that workers in those industries have a light green collar. If you think about it, you know, as you mentioned before, a small number of industries are responsible for a large part of our environmental impacts. That's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity, because in those small number of industries, we can make the biggest improvements in terms of cleaning up and becoming more sustainable. So that's why we're trying to be more inclusive in this concept of what are green jobs and what's a green collar workforce look like.